Good evening. Welcome to the San Luis Coastal Unified School District Board meeting for November 18th. In closed session, we discussed the superintendent's performance evaluation and the first progress update. Also, we had a conference with our labor negotiators and our agency designated representatives and district negotiating team and council, discussing our employee organizations, confidential, CSEA, MEC, SEIU, and SLCTA. With regards to the SLCTA, the board discussed the status of negotiations with SLCTA. The board is extremely disappointed that a tentative agreement that was bargained and agreed to in good faith was voted down by the unit members. In collective bargaining, when two parties forge an agreement, it is with the understanding that both parties will actively seek to ratify this agreement. This did not happen. The board discussed the possible actions in closed session and gave direction to our negotiating team. We also discussed in closed session some existing litigation, and we have a statement on that. The board reviewed the terms of a settlement agreement and release in the case of the Cal 200 et al. Versus the San Francisco Unified School District et al. And gave the district's legal counsel the authority to effectuate the terms of the agreement. And finally, we had discussions about students who had taken the California High School Exit Exam and had waiver requests for the students with disabilities, and we will deal with that later in this board session. So moving on there, from there we are going to move to action item 4.0, a consensus on the order of business. Do we have a consensus? Any changes? Okay, we're good. We'll move on then. We need an approval of the minutes from the 4th of November.
I move approval of the minutes of the 4th of November.
I'll second.
So we have a motion for approval of the minutes by Dr. Eisenrath Rogers, and Mr. Buckman seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And please note there is one absence. So it passes 6-0. All right. It's that favorite time of the evening for us, besides adjournment. It's the student representatives to the board. John O., shall we defer to Morro Bay, the home court, give them the home court advantage? Noah, please tell us who you are and let us know what's happening at Morro Bay High School.
All right. Good evening. I'm Noah Lyman. I'm the student representative to Morro Bay High School. As Morro Bay progresses into the wintertime, we're going to start up our charity events such as Toys for Tots. And looking further, we're looking at improved things such as our talent show and mock rock. And also, tentatively, I must say we are very excited to see the results of Measure D start to come to fruition at our school. Thank you.
Thank you, Noah. I like that. That was very concise. Very good. Okay, John O.
Might not be as short. And for that, I will apologize. I'd also like to apologize for not being at the last meeting. I was running the precincts for one of the voting areas, and I was doing my civic duty and helping out. Future politician right here, maybe, who knows. Anyways, I'm John Roberts. I am the ASB president at San Luis Obispo High School, and I'm just going to give you guys a little update on what's going on at SLO High. We're currently going through our canned food drive. That'll end on Friday, and our goal is to get one can per student, so 1,400 cans. That's something we're really pushing. We've got these cool bins that are just like a giant can. There's no better way to describe it. And they say freshmen, sophomore, junior, seniors. And then there's a drawing next to it of another can. And that's filling up, and we'll fill in with it as we get to reach our goal. And our sports are moving into the winter section. We just had our week-long winter sports tryouts. So those went pretty well. I know some people who are really excited. I actually know a friend of mine who's a senior and her freshman sister are on varsity soccer together. So there might be a good movie plot in there if you're looking for something like that. We've got our cross country that's still going on. They've been doing really well. They were just at CIF last weekend, I believe. And we have two tennis players that are moving on as well, Anna Lippold and Caroline Burke. They're playing singles and possibly doubles. I'll have to don't have it. We also have a system where you can collect from your classroom a little colorful ticket that says something like, you know, a Trader Joe's gift card or a hooded sweatshirt, and you can go out and you can buy it, or and then you can bring it back, and the counselors will be giving it out to those who need. So in this time of giving, we've tried to slow down a little bit and think about the bigger picture and how much we've been given and how much we can give back. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, John. Quite a bit of good things going on at both high schools. Thank you, Noah. It's at this time that we tell you that you're welcome to stay for the entire board meeting, but we know that you might have something to do related to your academics in school, so if you do, you're free to leave.
If you can give me an exit slip for my finals, I'd love
it. I don't have that authority. But thank you both. All right, we are on the agenda now at item 5.02, which is Teach Foundation Grant Awards. And Terry, tell everybody who you are and what you're about, please.
Okay, my name's Terry Main. I'm the president of the Teach Foundation, which is the Endowment for the Advancement of Children. We've been around since 2001, giving grants twice yearly to teachers within the school district for classroom enrichment. I'm pleased to be here tonight to announce that we have awarded 20 TEACH grants in the amount of $12,993.56. It's a representative sampling from across the district. It looks like we had the most grant applications from C.L. Smith and Los Osos. This time, Los Osos with their STEAM program, they're doing some great things there, and we were very happy to be able to supplement their classroom activities. Once again, we've brought some of our award recipients here tonight so they can tell you exactly what they're doing and you can ask questions of them. So we're going to start off tonight with Eileen Davis from C.L. Smith.
Good evening. Special Olympics offers an opportunity for children who don't often get recognized to have not just recognition from their small class, but from a large group of people. Their families get to come and participate. It's a really special time in their lives. And the only thing that I can't provide is transportation, which is above the cost of everything else. And so this grant is going to allow us to go as a class on a field trip and families to meet their kids and participate in a fun day, a day of seeing goals that they've set accomplished and working towards things that they'll be seeing in the future. They'll be able to see, because we go with the students from Laguna, they'll be able to see not only the students they're going to see next year, but also the teacher they're going to see next year, and some of the things that they might be able to do as they get older. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eileen.
Hello.
I think I did this last time. A year and a half, the grant committee awarded me TouchChat, which is a communication app, and it was my pleasure to pass that on to other people. So I guess I look at assistive technology as a ripple, and you begin with one student, you begin to see some growth. So we have now three students who utilize this particular communication app. We have other children using different other communication apps as well. And now this has allowed for 5 new touch chats, and this is going to 3 teachers who are working with some significant disabilities and 2 speech pathologists. And so I guess it just begins small and you ripple, and eventually we have more technology. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Deborah Vandenberg. And that's for C.L. Smith, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Lauren Villa, and I also teach at C.L. Smith. I teach 6th grade, and the $500 grant that we are receiving is going to help support our transportation to and from 6th grade science camp at Rancho Alegre in Santa Barbara. This opportunity is one that some of our students might not be able to otherwise get, you know, hiking and camping in the hills of Santa Barbara. After camp, we'll come back and do writing about the science experiences we've had, so it's really helpful in creating a shared experience for all of our learners, and I appreciate the grant. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lauren.
New Common Core state standards that we have. We understand that we need to educate the parents as well as the students, and the teachers are doing a great job in the classrooms, so we want to celebrate that by having the students share their learning with patterns. And many of the parents think, when they think patterns in math, that it's circle, square, red, blue, and we're going to really bring out the patterns that we see in the numbers, and Jeff's going to give you a few more details about how we plan on doing that.
So our night will start off with a light snack, and that's part of the grant money's going towards that, to entice more people to show up. And we'll then have each teacher will provide an activity that kind of is spiraling up from kindergarten all the way to 6th grade, everything focusing on patterns. So if you have a student in kindergarten and 4th grade, you'll see how the learning that the kindergartner is doing spirals up to the skills you need for the 4th grade activity. At the end of the night, each family will be able to take home some of the math activities, and that again is part of where our grant money is going, is to provide the supplies to take home some activities that are reusable that the family can use over and over again to reinforce those skills at home as well. And we just want to say again thank you to the Teach Grant Foundation.
And we wanted to add that it'll be in January, and we will be inviting you as well, and we hope that you can make it and come celebrate math with us. So thank you, and thank you, Teach Foundation.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation. And I see Terry Norlock coming up. It's a good thing it's a good thing she's so fit. Now, make sure you point that towards...
I know
Mrs. Mrs. Rogers too. There we go.
right here, baby.
Oh.
Hi.
Afraid to bring it up. Proud giant fan.
My name is Terry Norlock, and I teach PE at Laguna Middle School. And at Laguna, we're striving to find fun and different things to teach our kids. And one of the things that we were looking at, and I have to be honest, my husband Mike teaches at Mesa Middle School, and they do this program. So we get to bounce a lot of ideas off of each other. And we call it barbecue games, but I called it Lifetime Fitness because it sounded a lot more better than barbecue games. So anyways, what we're trying to do is teach the kids different games, non-traditional games that they can use their whole lives when they go to weddings, when they go to birthday parties, all kinds of events. And we have cornhole. This is cornhole. I brought these in case you didn't know what cornhole. So we're going to purchase cornhole boards, bocce ball, horseshoes, a game called Skittles, spike ball, which is a really cool thing right now that's really popular, ladder ball, and we're actually going to have, we have a makers club on Thursday that meets after school, and we're going to actually have the kids make the ladder balls. Pearson doesn't know that yet, but that's what I'm proposing. Out of PVC pipe, it'll be a lot stronger than ordering from these companies. So we're going to have those kids involved with that. And then once we teach the kids all the different games, then we're going to have a barbecue, and we'll have kids bring stuff, and then we'll barbecue out on the field during their PE period, have hot dogs, salads, fruit, all kinds of things the kids will bring. And then the kids will all play these games. And one of the things, and Mike and I were just talking, that kids just don't know how to play anymore. They just don't know how to go outside and play and talk to each other. And so through these, we're hoping to help develop social skills as well, and just have fun. Just go out and have fun and eat and have a good time. So thank you, Teach Foundation, very much. I appreciate it, and we're looking forward to this unit. Thank you. And if you want to play any cornhole, right now, I'll take it. Yeah. I brought the beanbag. I got the beanbag. Dodger Giant right now.
Thank you, Terry, and your assistant also.
Good evening. My name is Eric Jarvis. I'm a sixth grade teacher at Los Osos Middle School, and I want to thank the Teach Foundation for supporting the Lion's Roar Video Production and Broadcasting Club, where students write, record, edit, and produce a variety television show about the happenings at Los Osos Middle School. And this program is broadcast on Charter Communications, San Luis Obispo County Office of Education's Channel 19, and it's also broadcast on the Internet on our school website and at mrjarvis.net. So if you come to one of our, we meet at lunchtime, and if you were to walk in on one of our meetings, you'll see kids gathered around doing authentic writing.
Intervix in my mathematics class. We have a garden patio area, which my students have decided on what they wanted to add to this year. They decided on putting a greenhouse in, a picnic table, and compost area. So they've helped me write this proposal. They measured out, they measured all the areas. They helped me price all the products we needed and the tools we're going to need. They put together the price list for this proposal, and we've got half the money, so I think we'll have those projects done by the end of the year. And I also wanted to say thank you for the support for Pirate Plaza. For my class, not only for the students of Morro Bay, but for my class, it provides a vocational lab experience where my students go in and help maintain, run, do all kinds of projects through Pirate Plaza. And now that it's moving on campus, it makes it a lot more accessible for us. So I'm hoping to keep continuing that support on through years to come and keep my students involved in that. So I say thank you very much.
I thought Danny was going to stay up here with me for Pirate Plaza. I really want to thank the Teach Foundation, and I'm looking specifically at Terry because she's always the one that sends the email to thank us. But the Teach Foundation was actually very instrumental in getting Pirate Plaza off the ground. They were our first partners, people to support us and sponsor us in getting a clothing teen clothing closet on the coast. We've been open coming up on 2.5 years now, and they've been very generous in partnering with us. We're moving to Morro Bay High, and thanks to Ryan, we're getting a we're getting a storage room built within the room that we're moving to. And so Daniel's kids are going to move all the stuff over. They will be painting. They will be cutting. They will be installing shelving. They'll be getting real world job training as well as social skills. So it's kind of two-pronged in that it serves the community, it serves families and students at Morro Bay, but it also serves our SDC classroom in getting those social skills as well as workability skills that are so necessary to be marketable when they graduate from high school. So without the support of the Teach Foundation, this would not be possible. Again, I want to thank you for your continued support. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Mrs. Bueller, we have a question for you.
I see one of the other Morro Bay High grants was for a zombie prom. Could you explain to us what the zombie prom is?
Brains!
I don't know what a zombie prom. No, the kids, what it is the kids voted. What we did was we put a survey out. We gave them, I don't know, four or five choices for prom, and they wanted to have a zombie prom. Zombies, apocalypse, all those creepy Halloween-y kind of things that scare me, they're really into. That's what they voted on. It'll be interesting to see how that actually develops, because the I don't know how you can have a sophisticated, nicely dressed zombie, but I'll find out when that prom date is. Feel free to drop by and see what they look like. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Buehler.
Good evening. I'm Jenna Jude. I'm a speech-language pathologist for the district, and I started a resource library last year, and so this funding is allowing me to continue that library and build on it. There are 12 of us in the district, and we serve students primary all the way up through the adult program. And there's just a need for literature for these students. We need a lot of specialized books, and so this has allowed me to buy a lot of materials that above and beyond our budget, and it's been really great having this resource library. It's something we utilize monthly during our meetings. People go in and they grab things, and it's, you know, we're starting to even build upon it, coming up with thematic units and really helping teachers have more literacy in their classrooms. And so it's been a really great project, and I hope to continue it in the years to come.
Thank you.
Okay, I'd just like to clarify so that there are, you have something to look forward to. Zombie Prom is actually a musical. Okay, this is being put on. Sherry Wright, the drama director, applied for this grant, so we'll be back like almost next week to do this again. So, did anybody have any questions?
Yes, we have a couple. So, Chris and then Catherine.
Are you guys planning a fundraiser this year? We'd sure like to. I'd like to be able to help you out.
Well, it'd be great to have you help us out, and we have a very small board. We are kind of just doing what we can here with the grants and sort of looking to figure that all out. I've been telling you that for years now, but somehow or another with our donations and with the investments from the endowment, we are managing to continue to grant. So we're not in a position right now to put on a fundraiser, but we hope to be soon.
Terry, I have just a question for you. It seems like there's more diversity this year and more technology, and that it's Common Core aligned, many of these grants, and more grants for our resource students. And so I'm wondering if there's anything that you did differently about recruitment for the grant nomination.
No. No, actually, we just work with Kim to put out the notification that it's happening, and it's really just about, I think, teachers have realized that we're here, we're always present, you know, twice a year we continue to show up, and so I think they're just starting to recognize that we are, you know, can be kind of counted on. And I have no real, I guess, recognition of the fact that it's all Common Core aligned or it's helping. I know it's Los Osos, who has not traditionally applied for a lot of grants there. We are starting to see a lot more activity out of them, and obviously that's because of the STEAM curriculum, and they have a lot more opportunities for, they probably have a lot more wants than they possibly have funds for. So we're starting to see more activities with them, and you're absolutely right that a lot of the resource teachers I've now found a lot of applications for technology for use with their students who have significant learning disabilities. And so as they find success with that particular medium and the applications involved with iPads and things and the fact that you're supporting the use of iPads now, then there's a lot more opportunities for us to work with that group where we haven't traditionally been asked to help as much with those type of students. So it continues to change. It's like everything in education is changing.
Thank you to the Teach Foundation so very much.
And thank you to all the teachers. Thank you for all that you do. You're awesome.
I just want to clarify something. you would accept a check from Mr. Unger or anyone here to the Teach Foundation.
Oh, yes, that. Okay, we are, yes, we are a fund under the Community Foundation, and should anyone like to donate to our efforts to support classroom enrichment, we would love to take your money, and we can be reached through the Community Foundation anytime.
Thank you very much, Terry.
Thanks for pointing that out. And we'll see you soon.
We hope so. Thank you again. Okay. And thank you to all the teachers that showed up tonight and presented at least a glimpse of your projects. And thank you, Mrs. Bueller, for such an interesting extemporaneous explanation. I believe you, absolutely. We are now at the 6.01 correspondence, and I don't see any. And is there any public comment tonight? Is there anybody that wishes to come and address the board on any issue? We invite you to speak on the various items as they come up. And seeing none, before we get into the updates here, we have a presentation for Dr. Prater and I think his entire staff too. So if we could move to the podium, we can do a presentation. And I think we can all move.
Rick, come on.
So we are so happy with the success of the Measure D, the campaign and the vote, that we thought that we should present to you folks something that you can frame and put in perhaps one of your offices and we're going to turn around to the other side. We forgot. There's two sides. There's the side with Measure D unadorned, and then the side with Measure D adorned with all of our signatures and with our deep appreciation for all your efforts. Thank you very much. We're back from our brief break here, and we are now on to the superintendent's updates. And we have listed on my business and budget first. Or is there something more? Just that one.
So you just quickly a couple things. SF squared kind of info that came through, and I just want to give you an update. You know. Thankfully, our community voted for Measure D. We haven't been able to meet since the last board meeting, since the election, and so that was fantastic. And just so that the board knows, across the state, 89 school districts passed local school bonds out of 113 that tried. So it was overall, I think local voters are really supporting their schools, supporting their districts, which is a great thing across the state, I would say. And that yielded about $9.3 billion in future school construction out of a possible $11.6 billion. In terms of from a California standpoint, as we know, Governor Brown did not put forward a state bond measure. And we haven't actually had a state bond measure since 2006. So it's been a while. And one of the things that he wants to do is he wants to make some changes to the state facilities program. So hopefully that'll be something that is a priority of his, I would say, over the next year, so that the potential for 2016 to roll around, where there could possibly be a state bond as well, because we, of course, will be looking for any way that we can to, add any additional revenue to the local to the local funds that we will be receiving. So that's we'll see how that goes. And so I'll keep the board updated as we find out. And then lastly, from an economic standpoint, revenues are in for the state, and it looks like we're up over $1.2 billion over estimates from last year. And so they think it may top $2 billion in terms of Department of Finance and where we're going to end the year at. And so, you know, for us, I think it's a positive thing, right? The economy of California that hopefully will put more money into schools. And so things like, as the governor's talked about, paying back mandated costs or things like that, you know, hopefully there'll be some positive momentum in those. And so we'll see in January when the governor's budget comes out how that all unfolds and how it goes. But in terms of a state, California, the Forbes list came out for business-friendly states. And so 2 years ago, California was 41 out of 50. And then last year they were 39. And so based on the new economic outlook, they have California's moved into the 37th spot. So not fantastic, but headed in the right direction. And a lot of that has to do with the economy and the amount of venture capital that is being spent in the state in terms of, you know, pro-business-wise. So just information.
Thank you, Mr. Pinkerton. Wouldn't it be fun if Forbes would do the same for amount of money that's spent per child by state and rate us that way? It'd be wonderful to see us moving up from 49th to 39th
yes.
to 36th, perhaps to the median for the nation. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
That would be fantastic.
Okay. Well, sorry for getting on my soapbox there. Anything more for us, Mr. Pinkerton? Okay, thank you very, very much. And it's good economic news. We are now on the action discussion agenda, and we have a math program update, K-12. Are you ready, Mrs. Shields?
I am ready. Okay. Thank you very much. For tonight's discussion item, we will share information on the Common Core Aligned Math curriculum that is being implemented in all of our San Luis Coastal classrooms, kindergarten through Algebra 2. We will also provide an update on the extensive parent education opportunities that have been a part of our shift to Common Core and some highlights of parent education workshops planned for this school year. As you know, San Luis Coastal began our transition to developing a world-class math program back in 2011, prior to the adoption of the Common Core. We brought in two teachers on special United States, and it resulted in a 444-page report called Adding It Up. The study focused on instructional practices and a balanced program to best support students in math education. A balanced approach to math includes procedural skills supported by conceptual understanding and the application of mathematics through problem solving. The writers of the Common Core Standards for Mathematics used this study as instructional practices from highly performing countries in mathematics to develop the 8 standards for mathematical practice, which are now the anchor standards for mathematics from kindergarten through Algebra 2 and the structure for our students doing math. So, San Luis Coastal's journey to the Common Core began over 3 years ago. We started with extensive research, not only in math content standards, but also the significant shifts in our instructional practices to better engage our students as learners of mathematics. To support our transition to the Common Core, we joined several professional mathematics communities, such as the Silicon Valley Mathematics or Math Institute, which we refer to as SVMI. We're also members of the California Mathematics Council, the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics. And additionally, we have had professional development and in-servicing for our teachers from our County Office of Education, from Cal Poly, from SVMI, from Dr. Larry Linen that worked with our secondary teachers on visual models in mathematics, And then Mike Wong and Dr. Barb Blonke did extensive work with our teachers in elementary mathematics. And this was all done to help facilitate our teachers' conceptual understanding and also in best practices for math instruction.
Good evening. I'm Diana Jones. As you can see, we've done a lot of work preparing teachers and learning about instructional shifts. This evening, we'd like to talk to you about curriculum. And based on the work that Barb just mentioned, we knew that we needed a curriculum that could meet some very specific needs. We needed materials that were aligned with both the Common Core content standards and the 8 mathematical practices. We needed curriculum that supported the instructional shifts and professional development in San Luis Coastal for the San Luis Coastal educators. It was also imperative that the curriculum supported teachers in implementing this type of instruction in the classroom with students. We began the search for instructional materials by asking other educators across the state what they were doing, searching at conferences and talking to experts. We were strongly cautioned against adopting too quickly, since most of what was developed wasn't all that different from previous curriculum. In order to sort through what was available, we created a team of elementary through calculus teachers. This committee attended curriculum fairs, heard publishers present their programs, and evaluated materials. In elementary, Bridges' second edition came out head and shoulders above the rest of the curriculum. It was available in kindergarten through second grade and was piloted in over 20 classrooms across our district last year. Last spring, the committee recommended adoption, and the curriculum is now in use in all of our kindergarten, first grade, and second grade classrooms. This fall, Bridges released their second edition in third through fifth grade, which is now being piloted across our district with positive response from parents, teachers, and students. Bridges' second edition is comprehensive in that it includes lessons, games, and assessments. It focuses on developing a strong foundation for procedural skills through visual models and conceptual understanding of mathematics. It also has extensive teacher guides, which include examples and explanations, allowing teachers to learn as they plan. So tonight we have some slideshows for you because pictures are worth a million words. The Bridges curriculum is comprised of two components. It has a number corner and problems and investigations. Number corner is a daily practice in which students engage in routines that allow them to review content that was already covered and preview upcoming content. The problems and investigations component is a whole class learning time in which students investigate real-world mathematical situations in group settings. Through both of these components, students are engaged in the 8 mathematical practices as well as the content standards. Coming up here, you're going to see a picture that the slideshow will end on, and it's of a student in fifth grade using the Number Corner curriculum. One of the neat things about the curriculum is that it also includes science standards and science investigations in the math curriculum, so headed towards that STEM type of learning that we know is very valuable. So this is Emerson. She's holding two deteriorating carrots. And so the idea in this is that students to them. These units are developed around the SVMI lesson design model, which engages students in problem-solving situations on a regular basis. Teachers use the units to differentiate through guided math, meeting students where they are and pressing them further in their mathematical understandings. An emphasis on manipulatives and visual models solidifies foundational learnings, and research-based strategies are used to teach students computational skills, such as doubling and halving, that will serve them as they continue in their mathematical education.
And you're going to see from the slides, it's going to transition to the middle school. The focus of the middle school mathematics in the Common Core is the math that we use in life. And our middle school instructional units build upon the skills that students learned in their elementary years and applies these skills to real-world situations. We have units that were developed for Math 7, Math 7 Accelerated, Math 8, and Math 8 Accelerated. As with the elementary units, our units also use the SVMI model and include rich, real-world tasks, engaging lessons embedded with the math practices, math and numbers talks to support discourse in our classrooms. Do you know that person? And problems of the month, which are non-routine level problems for universal access to reach all our students. We're also using what are called formative assessment lessons, and these are from the Math Assessment Project lesson, which is supported by the Gates Foundation. And these are lessons where we can really take our students much deeper in their mathematical understanding and also look for their proficiency in mathematics. Okay, and then for our Algebra 1 and Geometry and Algebra 2, we are currently piloting CPM, and CPM is College Preparatory Mathematics. Their new program is called Core Connections. And CPM is a California nonprofit corporation which has provided problem-based curriculum since 1989. And their teaching strategies focus on how students best learn and retain math. CPM states that they were Common Core before there was a Common Core. So CPM provides ongoing professional development for our teachers. Our teachers last summer went through a week training, and that was to understand the CPM format and also prepare them for their first weeks of instruction. We have and will have additional trainings for upcoming chapters, which include time for teachers also to plan and collaborate. The trainings are done by teacher leaders who are currently teaching CPM in their classrooms. And additionally, there is support provided for the teachers. That's through the CPM website, as well as ebooks, which have things like MathCast, where teachers can go after reading through what the lesson is for the day, they can watch a MathCast to fully understand how to present and how to do the lesson. So we also have some slides from our CPM program. CPM does have, it's a cooperative learning program, and it was, the Core Connections was recently updated with the Common Core curriculum. In this curriculum, our students are engaged in non-routine problem-solving activities and lessons, and it does require them to employ problem-solving strategies. Our students are investigating, they're analyzing, they're critiquing, they're gathering and constructing evidence and communicating their reasoning with mathematical discourse. And these are skills necessary not only for college and career readiness, but also for the 21st century workplace. So the CPM classroom uses cooperative learning groups for students to support and explain their mathematical understanding. Teachers in our CPM classrooms are facilitators of learning, and they are guiding our students in their mathematical development. So we're going to be showing you a video clip and just a little background. This is a CPM Algebra 2 class, and the students are preparing, they're working on problems, and they're preparing for a test in the class. And what you're going to see is a student explaining to the other two students, and it really demonstrates the cooperative element of CPM and also the communication and the kids using discourse. And if you listen at the very end, it's a little hard to hear, but at the very end, the young man says, "Oh, good, I got it." So it's really powerful to listen to our students being able to talk to each other, explain their thinking, and then seeing that in the classrooms.
So you start out with negative two is your first one. So then you plug that into this equation and six.
Negative two times negative two. Of learning that I'm seeing in my classroom now and listening to the discussions that my students are having. And she said, "They're actually doing it, and I can't believe it." So, and then I did talk to one of the students in that video, and she said, "It's so different now." She said, "The problems are a lot harder." She said, "But now I always know I have people to work with, and it really helps me learn the mathematics." So we're seeing some really powerful things in our classrooms right now with this program.
Mrs. Salidis, may I ask a couple of questions real quick?
Yes.
Okay. First, you mentioned that you had summer training sessions for the CPM program.
Yes.
Did the majority of the secondary teachers, math teachers, attend those classes?
Yes. And we did, the first training we did was right when school got out. Our teachers dedicated a week. They were compensated at adult school rate.
Okay.
But we went down to Santa Maria, and we worked with other teachers that were going through the training, and that was our Geometry and Algebra 2 teachers. We were so impressed with the program that we also wanted to have Algebra 1 because we had talked about developing units for Algebra 1. And so the trainers from CPM, which are classroom teachers, we organized a training in August for our Algebra 1 teachers, and they attended.
Great. And are there currently some teachers that haven't been through the training?
We had one teacher that was out of the country,
mm-hmm.
and I met with him, and we worked together through the training, and that's it. Everybody else has gone through the training.
And the website and e-books that you mentioned, those are available to all teachers and the students?
Yes. Every teacher is set up with a teacher e-book. And the ebook has exactly what the students see, and then it also has the teacher book, and so it has those additional resources on it for the teachers. We also have all of our students have an ebook license. Because we are piloting the program, CPM provided us with books for the classroom, and then all the kids were given ebook licenses so they could use the ebooks. Students who do not have access to a computer or Wi-Fi, we're making student packets. We have Blackline Masters, and we're running student packets for those students.
Are materials available in other languages such as Spanish or Chinese or anything?
They do not at the time have it for core connections, but what they have is a translate feature on the ebook, and we're working right now with the EL specialist at Morro Bay High so she can work with her students so the students can capture the words, and then they go ahead and translate it in, and we're saving it in Google so that we have those documents for other students.
Thank you. Mr. Buckman.
Hi. As long as we're on CPM, if I could just ask a couple of questions.
Sure.
When I hear college preparatory math, is that what it was?
Yes.
CPM? College preparatory math, I just want to check because it's my understanding, and I could be wrong, that the state now would like to see the career technology education woven and through it, and I'm wondering if the CPM has that function.
So they do, and I may not be answering the question correctly. They have a tremendous tech component with the program, and it's actually more than we thought they had. The kids can use the e-tools, so they can manipulate using the computer, all kinds of different things that the teachers have them doing in class.
Yeah.
Is that not the question?
It's a great answer
to
a question I didn't ask. But I'm sorry, I'm not expressing myself well. It's the career technology, like the ROP,
right.
So the kids know how this will affect them as they go to into other careers and how they can use it in other careers, as just opposed to college prep.
Right. There's a tremendous application basis to the program that will lead itself into other areas.
Okay.
We did an algebra lesson with the kids, and I actually had some administrators do it. It was pretty fun. But there were three different situations. They were dealing with functions, and one of them was they were working with a virus that a couple had gone on vacation to a tropical area.
Oh, we don't want to.
Okay, but you know what? It was so appropriate.
Yeah.
And we even watched a little clip on Ebola.
Yeah.
And the kids talked about it, and then they had to model what was happening, because modeling in mathematics is where you're actually taking a situation and you're mathematizing it.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to go through, and they were really – it's just – the program is geared for the kids to not – feel that math is separate from what's going on in life.
Thank you. That's exactly. And then just real quickly, I know that we've got the two, at some point you get the two strands where, I think it's eighth grade, one of the key points.
Mm-hmm.
Is this available in both strands, or is this only available in the more difficult strand?
Are we talking about honors?
Accelerated. Yeah.
We are eighth grade program at.
Do a gallery walk around the room and see how students in seventh grade through calculus approach the exact same problem. So these nights are full of wonderful parent ahas and are very popular. We have two more coming up this winter, so those dates will be coming, and if you could join us with those, that would be marvelous. At the elementary level, we have the family math nights, and I think Jill and Jeff did a fabulous job talking about those with their Teach Grant that they were just awarded. These are opportunities for students to bring their families, their siblings, their parents, their neighbors, anybody they want to come share their love of math. So the idea is that teachers get together on campus and provide activities and games where the students get to come show their deep understanding of math through these activities that they've done in their classroom. Barb and I were also recently invited to Morro Bay High to talk with a group of PTA leaders in our district, and we were able to go through our process of this transition to Common Core Math with them and share some of the math program with them. And then we have continual updates in school newsletters and where we share online resources and share new information. We have school newsletters that go out on a regular basis. We have a district math blog, and we have our ISLA website, our instructional services website, where we share that information as well.
Just quickly, student district was here.
Finally, our next steps. We will continue to revise our transitional units. We're getting input from teachers about lesson revisions and things to add. People are coming up with different lessons that we're putting in. Because it's digital, it's easy for us to go in and revise it. We also consider it organic, so it's constantly being modified and essentially polished. We will continue with teacher support. So we do have our teachers coming, and we're in-servicing before upcoming units so that they've gone through them and understand how to do them with their students. We also have instructional coaches going in and working directly with the teachers. We're doing co-teaching models. I've been doing quite a bit of that at both the high schools and the middle schools. And there's an instructional material adoption panel will continue for 3rd through 5th grade, the pilot of Bridges, correct? I said that correctly. And we do foresee a possibility of maybe additional pilots as quality programs for the Common Core become available. And I'm going to take also a moment just to really praise our teachers. This has been a tremendous, tremendous shift for us. And they have worked so hard. I had a teacher the other day that said to me, I have never been so tired. She said, but it's a really good tired. So I wanted to share that.
Does anybody have any questions?
Yes. Dr. Eisendrath Rogers.
Mrs. Jones, I was just wondering if you have a date for the next parent math night?
The upcoming parent math nights are in February, I believe.
We're looking at the first week, possibly, somewhere in that time frame. First week or two of February, and we will send flyers, and we've talked about having them at one at the coast and then one in San Luis and at the high schools this time, because we did middle schools last year, so we want to provide it for the high schools.
That would be fun to see how the parents deal with that, because when I visit the classrooms, I am always thrown back to our own experience in school where it was do not talk to your neighbor, and now it's talk to your neighbor.
Exactly.
Mrs. Sheffer.
You talked about the opportunity for people to come share their love of math. I hope that there are parents, were my kids still in that age group, I would be coming to share my fear of math and my fear of dealing with these changes and perhaps my inability to help them as I would hope to be able to as a parent. And that leads me to, I know that several of our elementary schools have homework clubs and after-school opportunities. Are the homework club people or the tutor, the classroom tutors, how familiar are they with these changes in math to be able to support our kids after school?
I was just hearing about this subject today at our elementary principals meeting. We were talking about after school opportunities, and several of our schools still do have homework clubs. Some they're run by various staff. Some also they have volunteers from Cal Poly. An example would be at Baywood, where the Title I teacher does a front-loading of mathematics. This is actually a little bit different than the homework club, where she meets with kids that need extra support ahead of the unit or ahead of that week's lesson. So she meets with the teachers to find out, you know, how they did on a pre-assessment. She front-loads them with the concepts, and then they're ready for success. Now, directly with our homework clubs, those are staffed by either hourly teachers, as I said, Cal Poly folks, or itinerant teachers, and we try to make that communication happen so that they do know what they're doing. It's not perfect.
Okay. And then just to follow up with that, I know that we have students whose parents...
...these of those things. Additionally, in the older grades, I have started creating with Barb, we've been researching what are some great resources that we can share with teachers to share with parents on a regular basis. Again, so that they can post those to their website or share them however they communicate with parents effectively.
So just one follow-up. Then during conference week coming up, this would be a great opportunity for teachers to be able to reach out to the parents as well and
Absolutely.
Address any concerns with resources or... what
Absolutely.
They may need.
Okay. And we were able to share some resources before conferences that were in both English and Spanish.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
And I just want to thank you for all the hard work and effort, and I know it hasn't been easy. As one who is a little bit reluctant to change, and having been a teacher and having had to change because of the technology and different pedagogical changes, I appreciate your work, and I know people don't always express their gratitude to you. So, for one, and I'm sure I'm speaking for a lot of the board members, Mrs. Roger.
Thank you. The Bridges curriculum that's been adopted for K-2 is being piloted 3 through 5.
Correct.
Okay, in some schools, and then those that aren't using Bridges are using LiveBinder.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, have you had an opportunity to solicit teacher feedback yet on which program they prefer, if they have a preference?
Absolutely. We are soliciting teacher feedback all the time. As you know, part of a pilot is the purpose is to see how is it working with our students, how is it working with our teachers, is this something that we want to recommend for adoption or continue looking. So the feedback on our pilot is happening all the time. We're also putting out a SurveyMonkey in early December with that group, okay. where we'll be collecting formal and organized feedback, but I hear it and solicit it almost on a daily basis. With the teachers using the live binders, we have wonderful opportunities where they are coming for professional development and planning, like Barb mentioned, to preview upcoming units. And part of that is creating that cross-district grade level PLC where they're sharing how is it working, what do you think about it, what are you doing differently, what's being effective. And again, since it's on a live binder format, we're able to make those changes immediately, sometimes even before other teachers get to the changes, so they're improved immediately for upcoming lessons.
And those doing Bridges, what feedback are you getting from them?
Very positive feedback, both from the kindergarten, first grade, and second grade teachers. It's been really amazing to actually look at two different groups of students and hear from the teachers. The students who did Bridges last year in a pilot, so let's say they were in a second grade pilot, and now they're in third grade and doing Bridges, what parents, what teachers, what the students are saying about how they're approaching math, how they're making sense of math, how they're talking about math is incredible. So that's been a really interesting group of students to look at, and we have several patches of them across the district. It's also interesting to look at the teachers who had students who did Bridges last year and are not doing Bridges this year and to see how is that transferable. It's best practices in both of those curriculums. So it's being able to be transferable, but we see that the students are approaching it with that sort of efficacy and confidence that they gained in Bridges earlier and being able to attack problems and discuss things in a different way than students who didn't. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Sorry, I get excited about that.
Again, thank you very much for all your hard work. Is there any public comment on this particular topic? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. We are now at item 8.02, approval of the 2015-2016 instructional calendar, and Krista Newland.
Good evening. So tonight I am recommending approval of the 2015-16 instructional calendar. As you may know, in the past this was a negotiable item that is now a management prerogative. However, the process that we've used for this is I included in a calendar committee last year, about a year ago, members of each one of the associations from a variety of campuses. They came up with the recommendation of a calendar, which then went to cabinet. At the beginning of this year, the principals looked at the calendar, and then it went back to cabinet for a second review. So it's been vetted by a huge variety of stakeholders. We've also looked at unfortunately, the calendars from the other districts are not ready. We're a little ahead of them.
This is always a tricky, hard job, and it's impossible to make everybody happy. Having sat on this committee for several years, it's harder than it looks.
And that's
having
true.
Said that, I would you need approval. You need
yes,
a motion from
I need
us.
A
I would
recommendation
move
for
approval of the 2015-2016 instructional calendar.
And I will second that. I just want to give the public a chance to weigh in. Is there anybody who wants to comment on the instructional calendar? Seeing no one, I will bring it back to the board. Is there any further discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor? Opposed? And no abstentions? So it passes 6-0 with one absence.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, we are moving on to the approval of a new position, Administrative Assistant Personnel Services.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take this one. We are requesting that the board allocate funds for an additional clerical position in the Personnel Services Department. There are several reasons for this request. Over the last couple of years, we've moved all benefit management functions to personnel from fiscal services. With our new director coming on board, we're anticipating restructuring and reallocating some of the duties of the department. We do have one of the key members of the department. I would never want to say in public that she does the work of two or three people, but she does the work of two or three people. And we are moving to a more paperless records and administration system that we feel will necessitate some additional clerical support. Kristen Newland is currently our only director without direct clerical support. So the Personnel Commission, which has the duty to classify all positions, has determined this to be an administrative assistant classification as the appropriate job class, but the board controls the purse strings. So our request is to add this additional position in the department.
Thank you, Mr. Robinette. Are there any questions for Mr. Robinette? It is like losing the Oracle of Delphi or something from
yes.
that. Is there any public comment before we bring this back to the board for any further time? Okay. Seeing none, we need a motion. I just did. Does the public wish to comment on this? Okay. Mrs. Roger, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say that we added a position last year in instructional services, I believe.
We added an administrative position 2 years ago in instructional services.
And now we're contemplating adding a position in personnel. I want to make sure that we're fully staffed. I want to be mindful of layering on administration, though, as well. So just with that comment, I'll move approval of item 8.03.
So we have a motion by Mrs. Roger and a second by Mrs. Sheffer. Is there any further comment or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? It passes 6-0 with one absence. So now we are on item 8.04, the Facilities Planning Framework.
So Measure D has passed, and Anthony Palazzo and myself locked ourselves in a room on Friday, and we worked together and laid it all the things that we need to kind of bring forward to the board in all the different areas. Reviewed that with Eric on Monday afternoon. And so today is just kind of the first initial steps that we have to take now that Measure D has passed. And so, you know, there will be a lot more information, more items coming to you, more board study sessions to kind of make decisions. But these are kind of the key things that we need to get started. And so the first one is... the board will need to certify the results of the election. So I believe the county clerk's recorder's office has 29 days after the election to kind of send us the votes and how people voted. And then as part of that process, we need to, in the board minutes, certify the election results. And why that's an important date is because on that day that the board does that, that begins the clock for us to start our Citizens Bond Oversight Committee selection process. And so that process itself, I'm currently working with Bill Cady from Jones Hall, who's our bond counsel, in looking at application process, looking for some bylaws from him, getting some, you know, any types of information we can that will start that. And so the board does have administrative regulations, which outlines the people that have to be on the bond oversight committee based on the board. And so once that selection takes place, and again, we have the 60 days to do that, then it will be really a process of then educating the CBOC or the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee on kind of what they do and kind of where we're at and the projects and where we're headed. And really the goal of the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee is to ensure that the dollars that the public has invested in the school district are being spent as the resolution has laid out. So that really is their task. They may meet quarterly to begin with, as things are slow and developing and as we get started. And then, you know, there's potential of, you know, even monthly meetings if needed when, you know, 2-3 years from now when there's a lot of construction happening. So that'll all be things that we'll kind of look at. I'm going to be bringing to the board. So I'll share with you, you know, the bylaws. We'll get those approved, you know, through the Board of Education, as well as I'll give you a quick look at the administrative regulations as well. There are some limitations. I think it's a 2-year term that's in the admin regs and those types of things. So we'll want to discuss those further. Next one is really a critical phase. And this is something that you're going to see the next agenda item is basically bringing Julie Avenant on board for our cash management. And so in my initial conversations with John Isom, our financial advisor, after the bond measure, you know, one of the things he's going to need to get his bond program and to figure out, you know, how much money we bring in throughout over the years is we kind of need to know what that cash flow is going to look like based on the build out, the construction, the projects that we have accomplished. And so that is kind of the next step for us to really nail that down, bring that to the board so that you can kind of see how this flows, how it works. I foresee that being a study session where we walk through it, we talk about it, and you get a really good sense of how this happens over the next 5 to 7 years in terms of the construction management from the architects all the way through the completion of projects. And then again, I talked to John a little bit. He congratulated us, was excited. He himself, I think the school districts that he worked at had a very high approval rating, which was terrific across the state. And so he will then work with us as that cash flow is decided, as those projects are lined out, he will then set up kind of our bond program. So how much money will this first year, how much money will we go out and sell in bonds? Are we going to do competitive sales or are we going to do negotiated sales? He's going to work with us as a district to go out and you know, find out what our credit rating is. So we'll go up to San Francisco, we'll meet with the groups, and we will, you know, the district will get a credit rating. And based on that, that will kind of be part of the decision about whether we go into it from a negotiated to a competitive sales for our bonds. Or do we, you know, hire an underwriter who works with us? But again, that's another study session for the board. I think, really to walk you through it, pros, cons, how that process lays out. So there's going to be, I guess my word to you tonight is there's going to be a lot of education that we're all going to have to go through here in the next few months. Time is of the essence. And so for us to get started and to get things going, we'll have another item in a minute about our, selecting our architects. And so I feel like we're in a good place in terms of those initial processes. But I just wanted to share these next initial steps. I believe Dr. Prater is going to work with the board president as well as the clerk at in terms of looking at setting some dates so that when we have our reorganization meeting in December that we get those board study sessions established so that we can go ahead and have those conversations and we can get direction from the board in terms of how we're going to move forward.
Mr. Unger.
I'm so stoked that we passed the bond. And I just want to share that on the coast, people are really excited about what's happening, and they're especially excited about Morro Bay. And what do they want? Every person I've talked to has said, when's the pool starting? So I just want to share that. And as soon as we can start getting information like that out to people, I think they'd appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And Mr. Pinkerton, I think we're going to feel a little bit like those elementary teachers in the next few weeks as far as learning and professional development and all the things that are about to happen with Measure
yes.
D. And again, I'm very pleased with that result. Are there any other questions from Mrs. Roger?
Thank you. Thank you for suggesting these study sessions. Mr. Unger and I were just saying we don't know much about bonds at all. And I suspect that nobody on the board has been down this path before.
He played for the Giants.
Oh, I do know about that, Bonds.
Yeah, but he got in trouble, so I don't know.
So I think the study sessions are really going to
yes.
be important.
Your hard work. I appreciate it. So now you're not going anywhere, are you, Mr.
No, Pinkerton? Next to you. I'm going to stay up.
Okay, so we are now on item 8.05, approve a contract with Spectrum Management Solutions for Measure D Construction Planning Service, correct?
Yes. And so, again, one of those first things that we have to do is really lay out the cash flow, lay out the budgeting, how we're going to do this record keeping, how we're going to do the projects from a budget standpoint. And so Julie's had initial conversations with Anthony, myself, with Julie Lang, our Director of Fiscal Services, to begin the process of how that is going to lay out. And I can't overemphasize how important it is for us to get a jump start on that process so that, we're not a year from now trying, hey, this is how the money was spent, this is what we were doing. But from the get-go, we are where every dollar is being allocated and to which project and how it's being established. So Julie was great with us in terms of working with us for our demographic study. We have our developer fee justification study completed, so that's something that is going to come forward and it will come to the board in January, and we will be doing some public hearings with that. There's one thing I will say. So Julie works on an hourly basis. Okay, so the amount that's on the contract, and if you look at the contract date, it was back from October. So this is this is almost like a year contract. So I don't see us getting anywhere near that overall amount of money that's in the contract. So it's an hourly rate, basically. And as we need her, as we use her, depending on, again, that initial board study session for cash flow and project management, she will need to be here to meet with the board, to walk us all through it and to work together on it. And then it'll really be how much more information I think future study sessions are things that we need with her as it goes. But again, it's kind of like with our attorneys, we'll set an amount, in terms of a purchase order. And it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to spend that amount, but it'll be an hourly fee, basically, that will go towards it.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Who will sort of supervise her? Who will be her go-to person? I see you waving, so that'll be Anthony primarily.
I would see Anthony being the key in terms of the project management, cash flow, because that relationship is going to be critical to kind of marry those together. But she'll also be really tied into Julie Lang as well.
Okay.
So in terms of the financial forms and using our documents and kind of tying the budget into. So, but Anthony will be the kind of the key contact person from the district.
So if we have questions as we go on, I can't imagine what they might be because as you were saying at that end of the table, that we are all going to be learning mm-hmm. this together. But we would direct those to Julie or to Anthony, and they would know how to get the answer if they didn't have it.
I would probably direct them to me, and then I will connect you with who I feel is going to be the best person to respond to that question.
Okay. All right. So, but Anthony will be having the sort of day-to-day oversight and
absolutely
passing projects along or questions or whatever. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. We have Mr. Unger, Mr. Buckman, and then Catherine Eisendrath Rogers.
Really quickly, and I'm not trying to be flip about this, she said that the letter is valid for 30 days from October 15th, so we're good that we're a couple of days over, and that's acceptable.
It's okay.
And then I'm assuming that this cost, based on her notes, it includes all things, including travel, meals, and all that sort of thing. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what it's
about. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
So, thank you, Chris. Thank you, Mr. President. Right, when we look at this contract, and it's got a dollar amount, mm-hmm. and we may or may not get to that amount, is it common practice to put a phrase in like up to and not to exceed mm-hmm. unless renegotiated? Because if we're paying her hourly and it starts to go over this amount,
then normally, I mean, that's in terms of that's something that, you know, she turns in monthly invoices. So on a monthly basis, the budget, you know, the fiscal department basically is kind of watching that, and she, you know, so we can kind of see, and she keeps a yearly total. So it'll, I mean, we're going to know kind of where she's at and how much, you know, on a monthly basis is being spent on her services.
Okay. Is this going to be the operating contract, or are we going to have another contract?
This will be a contract through June.
Okay.
And then we'll probably look at July 1 for next year, establishing a new contract.
Okay. I don't know how the rest of the board feels, but from my personal opinion, I really would like to see the phrasing in here, not up to and not to exceed, unless renegotiated.
That's fine.
You know, it's just a single board member.
Sure.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers.
I actually have the same question, and also I don't see an hourly rate in here.
I believe it's 125.
And can that be stated
in the contract?
Yes, I'll find
out for sure. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Mrs. Roger and then Mr. Unger.
Thank you. I understand the importance of having a person in this position.
Mm-hmm.
These are very specialized services and accounting practices that people who are used to doing school district accounting, I think, are largely unfamiliar with. So it's a critical person to have on board, and I think contracting in this way eliminates our need to hire an additional person into fiscal services that we would be paying and who would be burdened with health and welfare benefits. So I think that this is actually... because I thought about it and I spoke to Mr. Brinkton about it. I think this is a good deal for us because this woman comes with a...
I do want to take just a moment. Is there anybody in the public that would like to ask some questions or make a comment? Okay, seeing none. Mr. Palazzo, did you want to add something?
I'm going to let it go ahead.
Okay. Is there any further board discussion? So we have a motion by Mr. Unger, and a second by Dr. Eisendrath Rogers. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And passes 6-0 with one absence. And we shall move on to item 8.06, approve architectural pool for Measure D projects.
Yeah, so we put out an RFQ for architects to, again, gather, you know, a group of architects basically that we could work with in terms of all of our upcoming projects. Through the Measure D funds. So we had 7 firms that initially turned in RFQs. We had a selection, you know, an initial selection, a committee that went through and narrowed that down to 5 firms. And so from those five firms, we then had another set of interviews where they came in, presented, answered our questions, and we had the director of facilities from Templeton who joined our staff, Steve Stewart, myself, and so from that, from those interviews, oh, and Kyle Pruitt, principal at Morro Bay High School, was part of the selection committee as well. And so from those, we really narrowed it down to three firms that stood out that we felt were, you know, going to be the best for us in terms of both from an architectural standpoint, working with our staff, got the vision, really had the answers in terms of getting our staff involved in the process and how we could move forward. And so those three firms are here tonight. We actually have representatives that showed up tonight. So we have Eric Justison from RRM. We have Joe Wilcox from KBZ Architects and Alan Croker from PMSM.
Come on up, guys.
We can.
They're going to be seeing a lot of you in the next 5 to 7.
Yes. So these are the three firms that really, again, stood out in the group, narrowed it down, and it was, it's, you know, it's always tough. There were some firms that, of course, weren't selected. It's disappointing, but we really feel that this group that we have is really going to help us get what we need to get accomplished over the next, again, 5 to 7 years, and really update our comprehensive high schools and really all of our schools. It's very excited about it. So what will happen from here is, should the board move forward and approve these three firms, we will then go through the process of once we have our projects, once we begin the, you know, kind of how we're moving forward and we get that direction, get that approval from the board, then those projects will be basically tied into a specific firm and move forward from there. So that's kind of the, and those individual contracts for the firm will come to the board for approval as well. So tonight is really just, okay, we had a process, we narrowed it down to three. These are the three firms to make sure that the board's okay with that so that we can move forward. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah. And having sat on their side of the table for so many years, I was very relieved to not have to sit on that side of the table. But the amount of effort and the amount of work that goes into an RFQ process and an interview process as well is just exorbitant. So, you know, I want to thank them personally also on the district's behalf for putting in the effort and taking the time out of their schedules to submit qualifications and to interview. And that, you know, it is kind of like a rose ceremony where, you know, you keep making it to the next round and hopefully you get to stand here at the end. So, you know, again, the selection committee made, you know, had a very tough decision, but I think they, in the end, they picked three very good firms that are going to be able to sort of help execute our vision, if you will, of how we want our educational facilities to look in the future. So,
Mrs. Sheffer.
I just want to take an opportunity to point out that I hope someone is keeping track of all these committees we're going to be, who will be involved in this process as we move forward.
I have a spreadsheet.
I mean, I think that from our community chairs for getting the, who were responsible for the passage of the bond, and now the selection committee, who is not here but is aiding our very public efforts at transparency as we move forward with this process. And these committees will have hard jobs and choices to make as we move forward, and we'll be representing the interests of the community and of our students and of those who will use the facilities, as well as those who may never use the facilities but have generously voted to help fund this, that this is going to be an interesting process indeed, and that I very much appreciate the efforts that we will all be taking to keep this process transparent and the public well informed.
Which projects? But I defer to the people who were involved in the process, and if this is your selection, then I'm delighted to support it and welcome aboard.
Are you looking for a motion?
Well, before we look for a motion, maybe we could have some public input if there's anybody that wishes to ask questions or make a comment.
They are the public, Jim.
Seeing no one,
It's not uncommon when a bunch of architects come up that the room clears.
It empties.
So just get used to that.
I thought that was only with attorneys, but...
No, architects as well.
Oh, Walter's not here, so... is there a motion?
Yeah, I'll move approval of item 8.06.
I'll second it, please.
So we have a motion by Mrs. Roger and a second by Mr. Buckman. Is there any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0 with one absence. Thank you for all coming this evening.
Congratulations.
I hope you found the board meeting exciting. And
plan to get used to it.
Congratulations.
We hope to see you again fairly soon. All right, we are now on the action consent agenda. I'm going to read the items. If you wish to have one to pull for discussion, please indicate. 9.01, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. 9.02, acceptance of donations. 9.03, approval of furniture and equipment requests. 9.04,
pull, please.
Okay. That's approval of purchase orders. That will be pulled. And 9.05, approval of California high school exit exam waivers for students with disabilities.
I move approval of item 9.01 through 9.03 and item 9.05.
I'll second that. So we have a motion for the approval of items 9.01, 9.02, 9.03, and 9.05. Do we have a second?
Second.
I seconded it. And it's only 8 o'clock, 8:07. Okay. So Mr. Unger made the motion. Mr. Questenberry seconded it. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Abstentions. Motion passes 6-0 with one absence. Mr. Buckman, is that right? You?
Yes, please.
Okay, please.
Thanks. I just have a quick comment. I was looking at the purchase orders and noticed that we have a new way of presenting some of the items, and I found it very helpful and very easy to understand this time, and I also would like to compliment the business office for taking this step into the 21st century, and I think we've established a PayPal account now. So I just wanted to call attention to how nicely this has been done. I appreciate it. I move approval of 9.04.
And this time I'll second it and remember it. Is there any further discussion? It's a motion made by Mr. Buckman and seconded by Mr. Questenberry. Are there any other comments? Okay, all in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Passes 6-0 with one absence. We are now on the advanced agenda. Are there any items for the advanced agenda? Seeing none, we are now on reports by board members. Mr. Unger.
Well, I just wanted to say that I did attend the county board meeting last night at Morrill Road Education Center. There were 7 school board members in attendance at the meeting, each representing their local district. And I'm pleased to announce that for our Area 3, Mr. Jones was chosen to be on the county committee by a vote of 5-2. Dr. Crocker will be notifying our district more formally soon. So congratulations to Mr. Jones. This is an important job.
Yes, I think Mr. Will Jones will make a great representative. Are there any further reports by board members? Mrs. Roger.
Only a little teeny report that Mr. Unger and I attended the boardwalk at Baywood School. And and Mr. Buckman, I beg your pardon. There were 3 of us. I thought it was really interesting and well done. And I was able to look at my particular neighborhood school with kind of a new eye to the renovations and upgrades that might be necessary there. But we saw a great lesson in progress. I think that these were third graders. Help me out, guys. Mm-hmm. Where the teacher was comparing and contrasting two books, one of which took place in China.
$700. This was raised at a Grandparents' Day celebration back in September with the help of the PTA, and I got to observe a bit of the parent advisory, the ELL Parent Advisory Committee. I'll call it a fortunate event, but she's a tough act to follow. I had to follow my wife, who was making a presentation to the Parent Advisory Committee. I see great things going there, outreach to parents, outreach to the EL parents, and I just want to commend Baywood, its principal and staff, for their contact and commitment to their community. Is there anything further on board reports? Okay, seeing none, I think we stand adjourned. Thank you very much for coming.